This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast
Eddie. And anything can be great.
Except
usually.
Us. Yeah.
Except
we work hard not to be great.
Okay. Yes. No, it's not really work. We're naturals.
Yeah, we are.
Anyway, we're joined by Mary Vary of the United States Forest Service.
Smokey Bear Air.
Smokey Bear Air. Okay, I've never heard that one. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, here comes another one. I hear you guys are having quite a hot time out in California right now.
California, Oregon, Washington, Utah, Colorado.
They even had a couple in New Jersey, smaller. I mean, they were just brush fires.
They actually had fires in New Jersey this year.
What's up with that, huh? So when you write the schedule, you say, okay, yeah, Colorado looks good this year. We'll do that one. And they haven't had one in Utah for a while.
Actually, it's the people that are careless in the woods that write the schedule for
us. Is that the major cause?
That is still the major cause.
Accidental campfire things.
Campfires, fireworks.
Coleman gas grills.
Yeah, Coleman's are not so bad.
And
but,
people smoking, too. They toss the cigarette butts.
Cigarette butts, yeah.
Yeah, you see that in California along the highway all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, occasionally there's accidental, like a railroad train, things like that. An RV chain gets loose, something like that.
Oh, really?
Accidental, but yet human-caused. But still, a great majority is people out in the woods with, you know, alcohol, illegal fireworks.
No, that never happens.
Wrong,
that doesn't happen.
So
just look it up on YouTube.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
you have, the Forest Service resources have got to be stretched pretty thin right now.
They are. We're doing the best we can and with what we have. And the resources, the budgets are stretched. The good thing about it is we do work with our other partners, the Department of Interior, and all the bureaus that are under it, BLM, BIA.
Bureau of Land Management, Bureau of Internal Affairs?
No, Bureau of Land Management, Bureau of Indian Affairs,
Service. Park Service.
Forest Service is under Department of Agriculture, and then Department of Interior has a whole bunch of bureaus underneath them, and we work together to share our resources. We also work with the state agencies, the Departments of Natural Resources, and then various acronyms thereof that each different state has. So it's an interagency effort.
Now, you're with the Department of Aviation or Smokey Bear Air, as you said.
Smokey Bear Air. We're
everybody
US Forest
thinks
Service.
Of forest fire bombers, so I'm sure that's a huge part of it.
That is a huge part of it.
Not everything.
It's not everything, no. We have a forest health protection. We actually have a partnership with NASA that goes in the East Coast every year, and with a modified Cessna 206. It's got a camera port in the belly, and we use NASA sensors. It's trying to discover forest damage, disease, bug kill, things like that in as early stages as we can, so we can try to prevent the try to save the forest,
right.
Keep the health of the forest. And then we also have our firefighting. We have all sorts of different things that the Forest Service does. It's just that the fire, and I am a firefighter, aerial firefighter, that's what makes the media.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take my airplane and fly into this fire. I flew over a little bonfire once, 1,000 feet above it, and I couldn't believe it how much it beat me up. It must be incredible trying to fly into a forest fire.
Well, we don't fly into the forest fire. What we do and what my office, several of our pilots do, we've got two different specialties. One of them is smoke jumper delivery, and that's the larger airplanes that take the wildland firefighters out to remote areas, and they go out on parachutes. We also have the repellers that go out of helicopters on ropes, and those are for the more remote areas of the fires, or fires in more remote areas, excuse me. And then what I do primarily is what they call a lead plane, and that's finding escape routes for the fire bombers and working with the ground to find the best placement of the fire retardant. But the most important thing is finding the escape route. Those aircraft have a lot of power, but they use the excess power to get the retardant to the drop point.
Right.
So we take King Air 90s and King Air 200s, and we go in first, and we make several passes and look for dead air, bad air, visibility restrictions, escape. Again, escape route is the most important thing. And then when the bomber shows up, then they follow us in to the drop point, and we've described the escape route. We get out of their way. They make the drop.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're flying almost as many sorties as the fire bomber would be. You got to plan a route for every day, every area, every time the fire's changing, and you got to hit it from a different angle.
It's not even every day. It's like every minute. It's and
so you're
if
like
the
a
wind
forward
shifts,
air controller, yeah.
To an extent, yeah. It's to an extent. We coordinate with the ground. Sometimes we do it solo where I'm alone in the aircraft, and then sometimes we have what we call an aerial supervision module, which is an aerial supervisor in my right seat that's had special training. He's allowed to go low level. He or she is allowed to go low level with me.
How low?
About 100 feet above the trees.
Ooh, that is low.
Now,
yeah, the fire retardant, the single engine tankers drop at about 60 to 90 feet. The larger aircraft go 200 to 350 feet.
Yeah, but you know your flames could be that high above the canopy.
Well, we're not in the flames. It's a fire retardant, so we
so
put
you're
it out
ahead
of
the
fire.
Okay.
Yeah, so that the fire can move up to it and then slow. We don't put out the fire. Not even the water bombers. Those cool the fire. But what we're trying to do is buy time for the ground forces. The people with the hand tools, the Pulaski, which is a combination tool. It's half axe, half hoe. It's a really cool thing. They use the shovels, the rakes, the chainsaws, and then the engine crews, all of the ground firefighters. We're there strictly to buy them a little bit of time and support, but they are the ones that do the heavy lifting, and they are the ones that put out the fires.
I would also think that you're using the bomber aircraft to cover their escape routes, too, just in case something goes bad.
Actually, it's something that is not, we try not to keep that in the forefront of our mind. My job is the escape route for the tanker, but we are always keeping an eye on the fire behavior. Mm-hmm. And we also have usually an air attack ship overhead, and what that is a aircraft that is flying about 1,000 feet above the working aircraft in a right turn, and they have a very experienced firefighter on board that is kind of like an airborne air traffic controller. They're coordinating with the ground, and they're coordinating with us, and it's we can fit a lot of aircraft in a short or a small condensed area and get a lot of work done, but it's because of the air attacks that we
also,
can do
also, part of your job has to be saying that, I'm sorry, you cannot get this tanker in here right now. That's just not going to work.
Exactly. Yeah, we can't get there from here. And that is my job to say no. If the air is bad, if the visibility is bad, if the fire behavior is just beyond control, we back off. Or sometimes we look at it and say, this side of the fire, we can't work, but maybe the other side, and we can kind of herd it around a little bit.
So you also have to keep in mind the performance differences between all the different types of aircraft on hand.
Exactly. Yep.
Because a helicopter obviously is not going to get through as fast as a C-130 or whatever.
Yeah, and the Jet Ranger helicopter is going to perform differently than, say, a Chinook.
Right.
And the same with the tankers. The single-engine tanker is going to perform differently than the DC-10. However, they each have a place, and we refer to it as tools in the toolbox.
Right. Right. So each one fits a different purpose.
Yeah.
And in the DC-10, they get to watch a movie.
Yeah, the in-flight catering is good on that, too.
Yeah.
Now, you're saying you have a variety of aircraft. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned King Airs. What other spotter aircraft are you using?
Well, it's spotter's kind of an interesting phrase because there's the lead plane that's down low, and that's the King Air 90, King Air 200 series that we use for that. For the overhead air attack ships, those range from Cessna 206s up through turbine commanders, those type of aircraft, and everything in between. And then we have the reconnaissance aircraft, which is probably what you're thinking of as spotters, that go out looking for the fires. And that could be anything from, say, a Cessna 182 to 210 slower aircraft that go out and look for the fires.
I would think that the King Air would be too fast. You wouldn't be able, you'd be over the area and going so fast you might miss some important detail, or you're not really at that point, you're not really concerned with what's going to ground so much as what's in front of you and how to get another airplane through.
Well, yeah, and again, it's the neat thing about the King Air is I can slow down to about 115 knots, or I can speed up, like the DC-10 drops at about 150 knots. So for the lead plane, it's a really good platform. For aerial detection, sometimes slower is better, but I'll tell you what, you can the smoke makes itself known.
Right.
And that's
right.
Something for the public that I'd really like to get out there is don't get close to the smoke. If you see a smoke out there, you can assume, and this is the one time assume is a good thing, mm-hmm. just assume that we're sending resources to it. But if you can see it and you can send in through air traffic control or whomever your location and the direction it is from you, if you can see it and you can give us those coordinates, I can find it. We can find it.
And stop
it. Just don't fly over it because that's something I don't want to see is somebody in my windscreen that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, right. That'd be very bad.
Please, 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 that would be very bad.
You were talking about a DC-10.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any other large commercially converted aircraft available?
There is one out there, yeah, and they just got the tanks approved, and that's the 747. I haven't worked with it yet, but
you
there
will.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us, Mary. I'm not even going to try the last name again.
the name is self-inflicted. I've had it for 31 years.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Well, congratulations. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.